Open your Bibles, please, to the first chapter of Daniel. Daniel, the first chapter. You know, I think it would be a good habit to get into when you have your church bulletin. Maybe, if nothing else, just put that church bulletin where that reading is, so we quickly turn to it. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, that's part of Babylon, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this reading, and we pray You would add Your blessings to it and help us tonight as we study the decision that Daniel made, that it will help us to be stronger, and that it may cause someone to make definite decisions concerning salvation and service. Help us, Lord, that we may be submissive to Thee and live daily for Thee. Help us as Thy children to be instruments of blessing to those about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel's decision. I want us to think of the decision that Daniel made. You know, we're always, every day, called upon to make decisions. And we make some decisions that are good, and we make some that are bad. Now, I think it's refreshing to turn to the Word of God and find a young man who makes a decision, a far-reaching decision, a decision made early in life that seems to set the pattern for his entire life. Here's an interesting thing about Daniel. I know he was not a man that was without sin, but there is not a single word of condemnation for Daniel in the Word of God. you will find three times in the book of Daniel. He is referred to as the beloved. Beloved man of God. Evidently, he made the right decision. He purposed in his heart. He made a definite decision. And when I was thinking about that, I thought of the contrast between the decision that this young man made and the decision that Lot made. There is quite a contrast here in the case of Lot and that of Daniel. Lot moved into Sodom against the protest of his own conscience. I'm as sure of that as I can be. And while he was there, he vexed his soul because of the unrighteousness that he saw all about him. The wicked deeds of the Sodomites grieved him. And when he was told that God's judgment would be visited upon Sodom, the Word of God says that he lingered. Now, to me, that speaks volumes. He was a man of indecision. He didn't make decisions like Daniel. When God said this city is going to be destroyed, Lot lingered. And there was no point in lingering. No wonder his sons-in-law mocked him. No wonder his wife in unbelief looked back. No wonder his daughters disgraced him later on. Not so with this man, Daniel. Daniel was a young man exiled in far-off Babylon. They even changed his name. But thank God they didn't change his nature. He was still the same. And with shocking abruptness, it seems, he was confronted with what Daniel considered a real problem. Shall I eat meat that, according to the law of Moses, evidently was unclean? Shall I drink the wine that the king sets before me? And he made a definite decision that he would not. You know, there's never been a person saved that didn't make a definite decision. There's never been a saved person that served God unless they made clear-cut, definite decisions to do so. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you serve." But that's me and my house. We'll serve God. I think of the prodigal son who said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I stand against heaven and before thee. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." He not only decided that, he did it. He purposed in his heart to act, and then he acted. I'm confident that there are few people in hell tonight who did not somehow expect to go to heaven. You talk to very few people who expect to die before they are at peace with God, but a continued indecision is really a decision against God, and it results in eternal tragedy. Daniel's decision was a hard decision. Scholars are pretty well agreed that Daniel was in his teens or maybe a little beyond. He had been selected to study to be a ruler. Now, this was more than just a scholarship. This was really something. These young men were to study at the expense of the king, and then they were to appear before the king for his approval, and then be rulers with him. And so, Daniel was called upon to make a choice that involved some very important things in his life. There's strong likelihood that his parents could have been killed in the siege of Jerusalem. I doubt if Daniel had any prophet or priest to encourage him. His career and even his life was at stake. And so his decision to do what he did was a hard decision. But Daniel's not the only man who's made a hard decision. I think of Joseph. He made a hard decision when he decided to be lied upon and to go to jail rather than to fall into the wicked plot of Potiphar's wife. Daniel made a hard choice, but I don't think he made any harder choice than Moses made when he turned his back on the riches and royalty of Egypt and took his stand with some hated, despised slaves. Daniel made a hard choice, but he didn't make any harder choice than the three Hebrew children who had to make a choice. So whether or not they'd go to a fiery furnace or bow down in idolatry to the king's image on the plain of Dura. I don't think Daniel was called upon to make any harder choice than the apostles when they forsook lands, homes, businesses, boats, loved ones to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Daniel made any harder decision than the apostle Paul, not as much, when he decided to go all the way with Jesus, even to prison and to death. Now, I think if you and I would follow the train of these martyrs, missionaries, and great soul winners, and we too must understand there's some definite decisions to be made in life. They must be made in light of God's will, and they'll bring misunderstanding, and they'll bring persecution, and they'll bring real costs. People want an easy way to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and an easy way to serve. But no one's ever come to Christ for salvation who did not loathe and forsake sin. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return or turn unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. No one has ever served God acceptably who did not exercise self-denial. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Daniel's decision was a hard decision. I said first it was a hard decision. Now, I'm saying it was a heart decision. The record says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. It was not just in his head. It was in his heart. In the realm, rather, of the heart's desires. In the realm of the heart's hopes and loves and hate and choices. It was in this area that Daniel made his decision. It wasn't a matter of whether it's good business or whether it would please someone, but whether or not it would be right, whether or not it was God's will. When the sinner turns to Jesus Christ, it's not just a matter of joining a church or deciding to turn over a new leaf, live a better life. It's a heart decision to make a break with sin, to hate sin and love righteousness, and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and claim Him as Savior and live for Him. As I meditated upon this, I thought of the rich farmer that's described in Luke 12. He made his decision without regard to whether it was right or whether it was wrong. He didn't consider God or Satan. He ignored heaven and hell. He ignored death and judgment. He thought in terms of bigger crops and bigger barns and long days in which he could eat and drink and be merry. And God called that man a fool. And a man who makes a head decision only is a fool today. A person who decides in the light of one world, this world, is playing the fool. The decision that Daniel made was a decision for purity. Daniel decided, and I think it was definite, once and for all, I will not defile myself with the king's meat and with the king's wine. Now, we're living in an age when there are so many things to defile young people. And it's a temptation. There's the question of drink. Not much, but just a little. But don't take the first drink. Someone said marijuana has not proven to be very bad. Why not take just a little and try it, see what sensation is? The answer is no. I would earnestly plead with you, don't even smoke the first cigarette. Then you'll never have the problem. You know, I was reading today, someone said one time, said, all Brother Goodwin reads is the Bible and the Reader's Digest. Well, I read both. And I have before me the November issue of the Reader's Digest. And would you permit me to read from my second Bible, as some of them say? One reason I read it is because it's condensed. I don't have time to read everything. Dr. Paul Adkins was both a teacher of medicine and one of the nation's top chest surgeons when during a checkup in April 1980, his own x-rays were clipped to a light box. He glanced at them and the thought hit him. I'm looking at my own obituary. He was 54. He died at 55. And here's what he said. A more detailed pathology report now indicated that he had large cell anaplastic carcinoma of apparent glandular origin, a type of lung cancer often associated with cigarette smoking. He never doubted that smoking was the cause. He never doubted it. He was one of the outstanding surgeons. A surgeon dies. The death of a surgeon. I suggest you read it. Now, it tells us that he depended on his genetic background, because he had a father that was a heavy smoker and lived into his late 80s. He had a mother who was still living past 90 that was a heavy smoker. And so he said, well, I can count on genetics. But it didn't work. Of course, it's always someone else that's going to have cancer, not me. It's someone else. Might be you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. There's a great need for purity. Purity in the home, where mother and father live in the light of God's will. There's a need for purity in the church. That, I think, is accomplished when the preacher preaches the truth and lives the truth. And then when there is no other recourse, that discipline, church discipline, is exercised, if need be, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ may be pure. There is a great need for purity. Daniel made a decision that reflected his whole life. I say it set the course. Early in life, he said, I'm going to purpose to live clean and dedicated to God. It is said that George Washington, early in his life, developed the reputation for telling the truth. Well, we know that he was given the leadership during the Revolutionary War and later became our first president. Abraham Lincoln, known as the emancipator of the slaves, when he was a young man, made a trip to New Orleans. And he saw slaves there auctioned on a block like they were cattle. And he purposed in his heart, if he ever got a chance, he'd strike a blow against that. Early in life, Daniel made a definite decision. He purposed in his heart to do right, and it wasn't long until the test came. You recall the Feast of Belshazzar, when the fingers of a man's hand appeared on the wall. Who's going to interpret that and tell the king about God's judgment? Joseph. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom will be divided between the Medes and Persians. And the king died that night. I'll tell you, he made a decision that linked him up with God. And when Daniel made the decision that linked him up with God, God not only influenced men, he influenced lions. And when they cast Daniel into a den of lions, God sent angels with spiritual padlocks, as it were, and fastened the mouths of those lions until they could not hurt Daniel. When we honor God, God honors us. It's that simple. 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I thought, well, you can make this application. Everything that's done according to God's will abide forever. And that's true. And that's why we ought to be like Daniel, to purpose to do what God wants us to do. You know, God is looking for people that will make clear-cut decisions. I remember how, when I was unsaved, for a good many years, I was in a state of indecision. Had I died in that state of indecision, it would have been a decision of eternal doom. Then I remember when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and was born again, and God called me to preach. And I have stayed on that. I'm not proud of it, but I did. And then when I reached the place where I said, Lord, you take me and use me. It was a definite decision. When I decided to preach, I meant it. I can't keep from preaching. I preach everywhere I go. I made it once and for all. It's a lifetime. As long as there's any talk in there, there'll be some talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you tonight to make a decision. I would ask you young people to make your decision once and for all and say, I know that there are sins peculiar to youth, the young people, that I'm not going to give over to them. Timothy was told, flee youthful lusts. Do as Daniel did. Purpose in your heart to do that which is right. God will bless you. Whatever decision you need to make tonight, to make you happy and to please God, do it.